So today's sermon title is Being Needy. And don't let the title throw you. I know the notion of being needy kind of has a negative connotation to it, doesn't it? We think about being needy. Well, I don't want to be too needy, right? I don't want to need too much, right? Well, we're going to talk about that today a little bit. But first, I need to say something. So this past Monday, right, we celebrated the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., right? And I thought it would be appropriate, given the nature of today's message, there's one particular quote of his that really stands out for this. And I talked about it earlier. In a sense, in a real sense, all life is interrelated. All men and women are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality. So what does it mean to be interrelated, right? To be part of an inescapable network. It sounds a little bit maybe ominous, perhaps, like that we're trapped. But does that describe our church, right? Is that how we think about our gifts working together? Or does our church and its disciples operate more independently? Do we kind of go off on our own and do our own thing and just get ministry done? Or do we work together to do it? Right? Which way are we more effective? Which way do we have a bigger impact? When Jesus first sent out the disciples, did he send them out alone? Or did he send them out in groups of two? We need to think about these things. And this sums up what we're about today. This is what we're talking about today a little bit, especially in relation to baptism. We're welcoming new members into Christ's family here today, and especially here in our local family of the church, like right here at Burton Hand. So we think about these spiritual gifts, these gifts that we've received through the Holy Spirit. Verse 12 of that passage from 1 Corinthians, all members of the body, though many, are one, it says in Scripture, right? So there are many of us here, but we're really just still one body of faith. When people talk about the church as Burton Hand United Methodist Church or as the United Methodist Church, they aren't going to sit there and list out every single person. They're going to refer to us as the church, and there's a reason that they do that. We all represent the church. So in the body of Christ, all of us and the gifts that we bring to the church are indeed interrelated. We can't avoid that. Everything is connected together in the church. That's what the scripture is talking about today. We can't succeed in our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I don't know if you know that. That's the mission statement of the overarching, like the bigger United Methodist Church, right? That we make disciples of Christ for the transformation of the world. What a mouthful, isn't it? Our goal is to create people we want to become disciples. We work with people until they want to become disciples of Christ. We can simplify that down even more. We want to know Jesus, and we want to make Jesus known. Right? We can take it even simpler than that if we want to. But know Jesus and make him known is a pretty simple statement. But here's the thing. We can't do that unless we're valuing one another, unless we're working together, and we're depending on the gifts that each of us bring that are different, right? The body does not consist of one member, but of many, it says in verses 4 through 17. I'm kind of summarizing a little bit here. But because I am not a hand, I do not belong, but I'm not any less a part of the body. Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong, yet I am not any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how would we hear? Right? If the whole body were hearing, how would we smell? Hopefully okay. Oh, I know it's cold, but I'm going to try throwing some jokes here. I heard Marge laughing all the way downstairs. I'm kidding. I didn't actually hear you, Marge. But in this mission, we really don't have room for ego. When we're doing this stuff, we really don't have room for ego. We don't have time to be looking down on one another and saying, well, they're not gifted in the way we need them to be gifted. Or they don't have the right spiritual gifts. We don't have time for that. That's not what this is supposed to be about. We're supposed to be about working together. I'm going to put this into some context for here at the church, right? So people often think that there are better gifts, and I'm going to use air quotes. Some of those gifts are better, considered to be greater. Paul addresses that in that letter, in the later part of it, when he's talking about the fact that, you know, there's this notion that, you know, there are more honored gifts and less honored, you know, less more honorable parts and less honorable parts. But the thing is that they're all equally important, right? They all have to be there. In the context of the church, in terms of a Sunday morning, right? What gifts are really important for us to have be present here in this place for Sunday morning, right? When we're doing a worship service, right? First thing that happens when somebody walks through the door, they're greeted. Somebody says hello to them. Hospitality. Greatest gift that we can have on a Sunday morning, because the first impression that somebody gets is whether or not somebody says hello to them. Absolutely vital spiritual gift. People think very little of that one because it's not miraculous, right? It's not healing. I will, however, tell you that hospitality is far more miraculous in most cases than healing can ever be. Because someone who feels welcome is open to receive the word of the Lord. If you don't feel welcome, you're shut down. You're disconnected. So somebody that has the true gift of hospitality and they're welcoming people into our church, well, that is very important, right? Let's talk about music. What about music? How successful is a worship service without music? Well, we have the gift of worship. And thankfully, we have someone who is gifted with music that we can share worship together. Vital spiritual gift to have on a Sunday morning, right? But how about on a Tuesday? Do we need to have worship on a Tuesday? Do we need to necessarily have hospitable? We need to still have worship and be hospitable, right? Don't get me wrong. But in the case of the church here, right, on a Tuesday or a Saturday, let's say, right, do we need to have hospitality? Are they as important on a Saturday? No, I would probably not. In that case, people who are gifted with administration may be important. Let's put it this way. When worse comes to worse and the furnace is filling the building with smoke, and the chimney is clogged, hospitality probably isn't going to get it done. That's where the people who are gifted with administration come into play, right? So we can see that not all the spiritual gifts work the same way, and all of us have been gifted in a way that makes things happen, that moves the church along, that changes lives in different ways, right? How about financial issues with conference? I had to laugh about something that happened this week. But if we didn't handle that administratively, well, I mean, that's not going to be shaking a hand at the door. I'm not preaching a sermon when we handle that, right? So there's gifts that don't come into play all the time, and there's gifts that, you know, we trade off. And if we were all a single member, where would the body be, right? If I were just a hand, if I were just a foot, where's the body at? How do I do anything? How do I move? If I'm just a hand, but there's no arm connecting me to anything, I'm pretty much just laying there on the floor. Be like, what's the thing from the Addams Family? Thing. Right? Thing? I said it, didn't I? What's the thing? Yeah. Right? But it used to crawl on the floor of the hand. How true is that? We can't do that. We're disconnected. We don't move. Right? We have to have the whole body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again to the feet, I have no need of you. Right? On the contrary, the members of the body seem to be weaker, are indispensable. Let me say that again. The members of the body that appear to be weaker are indispensable. That means they cannot be disposed of. We cannot do without them. We cannot move without them. Right? Just like in the church, when it comes to spiritual gifts, the ones that seem like, yeah, that's probably not the most important thing to have. Man, if we had somebody gifted with miracles and healing, boy, people be lining up. But if we didn't have somebody at the door who was hospitable, I guarantee you they would walk away. The ones that seem like sometimes they are the least important are quite often the most. So if you think that your contribution to the church is small, is replaceable, is irrelevant, I want you to understand that it's not. Your contribution to the church as a member of the body of Christ, as a member of this church, great or small, is just as important as anything that I do or Judy does or anybody else does. When you stand in a doorway and shake somebody's hand, you make them feel welcome, and that is absolutely vital to the health of the church. So don't ever think that what you do is small. or irrelevant, or just because people don't see it, that it's not important. What you do is vital. So I was talking about being needy, right? Let's take a moment. I'm going to do a little bit of a neediness survey and see where we've been over the last couple of weeks. I want you to just, rate the following statements. We're going to say if you agree, I'm going to ask if you agree or disagree, and hold up all five fingers if you agree, one finger if you disagree. Okay? Make sense? One is disagree, five is agree. Show of hands. It's okay to need another person's help. Five. Yeah, we can throw up a five on that one. It's okay if you don't agree too. If you disagree, that's all right. All that I need, I can provide. I have everything that I need and I can provide for myself. I'm going to reword that. I disagree with that statement. I don't have everything that I need. Don't ask me for help. I'll offer help when I can. Ooh. Right? I would come close to death before I would consider asking for help. Answer honestly. People are taking a second to think about that one. I would come close to death before I would consider asking for help. Right? One. There are times in my life before. Right? Now it's a one. I'd absolutely disagree. Right? It makes me uncomfortable to ask for help. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. Completely unscientific poll, though, right? But it reveals a few possibilities. We're uncomfortable with being vulnerable. We've talked about that before. We are uncomfortable with being vulnerable. Now, the thing is if we're not asking for help, if we don't ask, what does the Bible tell us about asking? If you ask, you shall. Seek and ye shall. Yeah, right? So if we're uncomfortable with being vulnerable, how likely is it that we're going to get help? Right? Now, this one isn't in the Bible, but God helps those that... Yeah, right? That one's not in the Bible. I'm just going to put that out there. There's not in the Bible for a reason. It's not in the Bible because God doesn't want us to help ourselves. He wants us to fully rely on Him, which also means fully relying on the body of Christ, which means fully relying on one another. Amen? I need to get an amen on that one. Okay, there we go. All right, now, the next thing that this fully unscientific poll reveals is that we're uncomfortable with asking for help. Really, how comfortable are we in asking for help? Let's put it this way. There are certain situations where I'm totally comfortable asking for help. There's other situations where I'm like, yeah, I probably don't want to ask for help for that. How true would you say, if I phrased it up like that earlier when I said about the comfort factor in asking for help, there are situations where I'm comfortable asking for help? Five. There are situations where I'm not comfortable asking for help? Five. Yeah, see, it's this thing, right? It's about whether or not we're going to be vulnerable. How comfortable are we asking for help? Now, this one is a crushing one for me. We don't have time. We don't have extra time to help. We keep ourselves so busy. We keep ourselves so busy that sometimes it's hard to be helpful. Sometimes it's hard to go help someone. Sometimes it's hard to get help because our schedules are so full, right? Now, I've got one for you, right? Perfect example of this. I swapped out. I got a free refrigerator from my brother when they moved to Maine. And I was able to get that refrigerator, was able to schedule help, and because there was no way I was moving that thing by myself. I was able to schedule help and get that refrigerator from their old house in Mannheim to my house over in Mountville, right? Was able to do that. Now, I haven't been able to schedule time to get the old refrigerator out of my house. So for quite some time, I've had this extra refrigerator just sitting in the kitchen. And it's not that I'm uncomfortable asking for help, but if I asked for help, a lot of times I'm not going to have the time right now to like help them get the refrigerator out of my house because I don't have the ability to remove it, right? So I haven't been able to ask for the help. I haven't had the time. Well, there we are. We don't have the extra time to ask for help, and we don't have the extra time to help, right? But here's the thing. And this passage continues with this one statement from 1 Corinthians. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. When it comes to recognizing the interrelated nature of our gifts, we must come to terms with our own vulnerability and dependency, and we must declare that it is okay to need one another. It is okay to need one another. You don't have to feel bad about needing help. In the case of what we're talking about here today, being needy is a good thing, okay? Because it recognizes that we can join more deeply with the body of Christ. The reality is that there are parts of the body that aren't always functioning. I'm sure we can all agree on that, right? A few weeks back when my back was giving me all kinds of, you know what, and I was having to take muscle relaxers and everything just so I could move and sit and stand and lay down and, you know, everything. You know, I can tell you that my back wasn't working too well. There's always parts that aren't going to work right. And those parts often don't realize how it hurts the whole. Let's put that in the context of the church. When we think about it in the context of the church, we know there's parts of the church, there's members of the body that aren't always doing what we need them to be doing, right? And maybe don't realize how that hurts the rest of the body. It's not about guilt. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. And I'm not trying to tell anybody you need to be doing more, all right? Hear me when I say that. It's just said with honesty and love. We need you and you need us, right? We need each one. We need one another. God has gifted you in ways that God has not gifted me. We need you to show up and share your gifts, because without your gifts, this body won't function the way it's meant to function, right? God has planned for you to be here. God has planned for you to be a part of this body, right? And so we need you here to fulfill the call on our lives to be who God created us to be in the context of this community. We absolutely want to do that. We want to be who God wants us to be in the context of this community. The world is a better place when we recognize that we are needy and that we are God's answers to our own prayers for one another. Amen? It's okay to be needy, just saying.